reconciled to you. So we thank you, God. And I just pray you move in the message this morning. Speak to us that we'd have encouragement and security through you and just show yourself strong. And so, Lord, I pray you just anoint me to speak words of the Spirit and each heart be open to receive of the Spirit. So, God, we just thank you of the security we have in you, the hope we have in you. And so we just lay everything at your feet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to look, turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to spend the time in Isaiah chapter 8. If you notice the title, just to show where with current events and things that are going on in the world, and titled the message, Fake News. Okay. So Isaiah chapter 8, verse 12. It says this, "Do not call conspiracy all that this people calls conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear, nor be in dread." Oh my goodness, does this apply or does it not apply in this world we live in? Which should be encouraging you to think about it. This was written, 800 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. So that's the way the world was then. Has it changed? No, it hasn't. We're surprised, I don't know if you read the Bible through. It's just a repeat. It's a repeat. People just repeat their sins. They repeat their mistakes. It's just a repeat. It's not a shock. It's not a shock. I'm thinking, if you're like the Lord, you're going, okay, here we go again. there's no change, And so here we have this statement that is fascinating that Isaiah is making here, and he's trying to encourage the people. And so what we see here, something that we can he's saying to apply then and we should apply now. God hasn't changed. The situations haven't changed. And we know the outcome. And so he's telling us something. And what happens, things are always going on around us. But God consciousness redefines urgency. Now, if you're taking notes, you all write that down. In fact, I'm going to say three or four things I never say before, haven't said before. You ought to write them down, all right? You really should, or put them in your phone or whatever you're doing. But God consciousness redefines urgency. Now, that's important, And if we have a focus on God, then it's going to redefine what we perceive as urgent. So what it says here, God's consciousness redefines urgency. Do not call conspiracy all that the people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear. So it's telling you, in this whole mass of humanity, as we're going through, there's conspiracies all over the place, and there's fear all over the place. And he said, that's the way it's going to be. But the message is to us. So there's so many supposedly facts that prove to be false and things that don't come to fruition. Just don't come to fruition. If we are continually moved by all these, we are in constant turmoil. Anybody relate? In constant turmoil. It's like that. It just keeps repeating, and the repeating keeps us in constant turmoil. Now, so God's people are not without fear, okay? We certainly, can be surprised by things that come up. But our whole approach is different. Our approach is different than anybody else's, or it should be different. And whatever the news, fake or otherwise, we see God at work in the events swirling around us, and through God, we stabilize ourselves. Write it down, okay? Through God, we stabilize ourselves. So here you've got this view that the points that God says, he's making this point. In Isaiah 8, he's making this point. God consciousness redefines urgency, and with all this swirl going around, it's saying that it's through God we stabilize ourselves. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Did the situation change? No, what changed is us. We looked at it and said, okay, God's got this. And so we're stabilized, not by the situation changing, but we know that God's got this. So our God consciousness changed this. And through God, we stabilize ourselves. Thus, next verse, Isaiah 8:13. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall honor as holy. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Like, oh boy. Okay, God is moving in this, okay? And of course, the fear of God, that is, he's moving in this, and we don't want to mess with it because he's moving in this. You got that? See? And so it's like, wow, it's... Don't call conspiracy what they call conspiracy. Don't be in dread, but it's the Lord of hosts. He's the one you call holy. So we're walking, if you will, to the beat of a different drummer. We see things in a different way. And again, I want to repeat, this is 800 years before the birth of Christ. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And so he's telling us something here so that we'll have something that we can understand and that we won't be tossed to and fro. And you know what he's saying? In other words, this is what he's saying. Dare to treat God as God. Write it down. Dare to treat God as God. Because God's God. And we'll say, that's God. He's okay, if I'm God, dare to treat God as God. Don't just say it, treat him as God. So don't respond to a situation of life in a way that makes God look helpless, weak, and worthless. Is God helpless, weak, or worthless? No, it's not. Well, don't act like he is. Oh my gosh, we're done. Oh my gosh, we'll never get through this. Oh my God, it's impossible for this to work out. We're declaring that God is helpless, weak, and worthless. See? And what we have here, and if we living emotionally like that, as if God were powerless, it is practical atheism. Write it down. If we act like that, it is practical atheism. Would we say we're atheists? Absolutely not. Do we act like we're atheist? Yeah, if we don't think he can do anything, we act like we're atheist. By our actions, we act as atheists. An atheist will say, I don't believe in God, and he acts like it. We say we believe in God and then act like atheists. We act like God doesn't exist. And a clear point, you know what I'm going to say, if you've been here, worry is a key indicator. Now see, who in here proclaims his worry all the time? And just being honest. And it's so, you know, that's not a good thing for a preacher to do. You know, it's like, wait a minute, suck it up, buddy. Now here we have, so we see this, and so what he's saying here in this communication, and just summarizing, when you read through these verses, talking to people at the time, and he's going, dare to treat God as God. Don't respond to life. Don't respond to life that makes him look helpless, weak, and worthless. Because that's practical atheism. Living like he doesn't exist. He can't help. He can't get us through what we're going through. So Christians must respect God enough to live like he actually exists. All right, now, you know, driving home this point and reinforce, because any of us ask, you know, I mean, we're going to have home group right after this. We'll go around. You think God exists? You betcha. You know? But how do we act? Do we act like he exists? When we get in situations, do we act like he exists? Do we see him in the swirl around us? Or we call conspiracy and fear and dread? That's practical atheism. Now, I'm convicted by that. I mean, when I was doing this, I said, oh my gosh, it's just like, I can't believe, who is this message for anyway? And I think it's just for me, You know, I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just for me. And so I look at this. So Christians must respect the God enough to live like he actually exists. Write it down. I mean, good grief. Christians must respect God enough to live like he actually exists. And you think it's day-to-day times, day-to-day hand-wringing, day-to-day frustrations, you know, day-to-day panics. Christians must respect God enough to live like he actually exists. And if we do, we know something. We know something through God. And the next verse says, he will become a sanctuary. He'll become a sanctuary of what? If we act like he exists. But he can't become a sanctuary if we don't act like he exists. How can he be a sanctuary if our actions are like he doesn't exist? See, it's incompatible. He can only be a sanctuary if we act like he exists and we keep running in it and staying there. And staying there. Now, I'm going to read the whole thing because it's fascinating, because God is something else, too. We'll honor the Lord of hosts as holy. He will become a sanctuary and, okay, circle it, underline it, write it down to include it, to circle it, whatever. He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense, a rock of stumbling, a trap and a snare, and many will stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken. Not only is he a sanctuary, he's a snare. God is a snare. It's in the Bible. God is a snare. See, now listen to this. I'm going to repeat it like three times so you can write it down. All right, I want you to write this down. Whatever the news, fake or otherwise, how we treat God, you have this? How we treat God. Whatever the news, fake or otherwise, how we treat God determines how we experience God. Think about that. Now think about it. Whatever the news, fake or otherwise, how we treat God determines how we experience God. Oh, God, I want you to be my sanctuary, but I'm never going to trust him in anything I do, and I'm going to worry and fret and dread. That's the God that I'm going to have a relation with, the one that I believe can't do anything. But if God, I say, God, you're God, and I move into your sanctuary, Lord, I'm going to stand here with you. Everything going around me is a swirl, but I know you're in it, and I'm standing strong for you, and that's how I'm treating God, and that's how I'm going to experience God. Are y'all with me? Why isn't God helping me? How are you treating God? Like he can help you or not? Because you're going to experience God how you treat him. Now listen to this and go again. So I know all you're writing this down, okay? Whatever the news, fake or otherwise, how we treat God determines how we experience God, either as a sanctuary or a snare. That's what God's going to be to us. He's going to be a sanctuary or a snare. Every one of us will experience God in one way or another. If we take him into account as God, we will enter his sanctuary and experience his presence. Why? Because we take into account him as God. Therefore, we enter his sanctuary and experience his presence. I mean, he is. He's just like, the door's open. He's, I'm not going to drag you in. I'm not going to drag you in. If you come in, this is what you're going to experience. And we circle the sanctuary, worrying and fretting and dreading, because we know he's in there asleep. He's not doing nothing. See, but you see what I'm saying? I'm being a little facetious here. But the whole point of us to think, and this flow is amazing in what he's telling us. Now, so, but if, okay, we experience him as a Sanctuary, we enter into a sanctuary, experience his presence. Okay, that's how we treat God. That's what we're going to experience. But if news, fake news or otherwise, compels us, get ready to write, we will end up colliding with God. And tripping over him is a snare. See, God is working, and he's doing his stuff. He's doing his things, and he's moving. And we move into the sanctuary, and then we are trusting in him. And therefore, based on how we treat him, we're experiencing like that. But if we do not treat him that way, all the fake news or any news compels us, we end up colliding with what God's doing. We're totally out of sync, and we're colliding with what God's doing because we're not in the sanctuary. We haven't made that decision to make him our sanctuary. So we're colliding with him. And therefore, trip over him, and he becomes a snare to us. Now you think, wait a minute, I just wanted to hear some Jesus loves me, But this is how practically what things are going. You remember last week, 2 weeks ago, the Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. Because if you lean to your own understanding, you own it. Okay? And when you own it, what you do, you're colliding with God. And what you do, you get tripped up by God because you own it. Well, how could God do that? God didn't do that. He's saying, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to get you in sync with what I'm doing because I want to do what I'm doing. And all I'm asking you to trust. Well, I do try. I do believe in you. You don't act like it. Okay? I mean, he loves us. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. We just run around and causing all sorts of problems. It's like your kids. They cause all sorts of problems. But you love them. Amen? See? Now, so here you are. But anyway, to grasp this, and we want to understand, isn't it amazing how these verses just flow like this? And it's flowing like that. Again, this is 800 years before Christ. Nothing has changed. So we should be able to take this. Yep, this is right. What was the same way 800 years before Christ? It's a repetition. And he's trying to tell us to get out of the swirl and to make a stand for him and see him work and cooperate with him. Of course, we could much do that better with Jesus. In fact, what we have with Jesus, which is fascinating, Jesus, he quotes, I don't have an overhead for this, but he quotes in Matthew 21:44 the same thing about himself. Oh, gosh, you mean Jesus didn't rescue me in this thing? He goes, no, he didn't rescue because Jesus quotes the Old Testament concerning himself, and he says this, he's talking about himself, the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. I said, Jesus, that wasn't nice. That really wasn't nice. He's quoting Isaiah. He said, listen, I'm telling you, trust in me and you honor me. I'll be your sanctuary. Or I'm going to be a snare. You're going to just keep colliding with me. See? Now, as we go and read this, now we'll bring it New Testament time. Some people would dismiss Jesus is irrelevant. They just dismiss him as irrelevant. Therefore, now he just said this verse, right? Therefore, they ultimately stumble, fall, and are broken. So he's telling us this is not good. I'm trying to have you come to be so you'll be in the sanctuary. I don't want you to collide with me and me be a snare to what you're doing because you're running counter to what I am doing. It's not like God reaches down. He's a snare and thumps us in the air. No, he's doing this. And we're running and hitting him and bouncing off and running over here, bouncing, tripping over all this stuff. He's, hey, whiz. He's working in spite of us and not because of us. See, so run to me and be a sanctuary. This mess is terrible. That's right. And I want you to come to me as a sanctuary and give me the opportunity to work it out. But if I do this, I can really help you out in this. Smack, run into, collide with God. You fall or get up, snare, and fall over your face. God, help me. Jeez. That's exactly what he's saying, okay? So he's saying, I'm working, I'm trying to get you in gear with what I'm doing. So here he says it. So it really is fascinating. And so those we present Christ to is the same way. We're trying to, so you can be a sanctuary. I don't need Jesus. You're going to have a collision, you know, with what? God. And he's not going to run and thump you. You're going to run into him. See, you're going to run counter to what he's doing and get caught in that snare. Now, but Christians, I won't bring this, so we kind of believers, but I'm bringing this to Christians, to us. See, Christians, you know, are not supposed to act in a way, like we just said, that makes God look helpless, weak, or worthless. So, we're not supposed to act that way. And so even like reading the Bible, we're not to act that way. We read the way he says. And so what we want to do, we don't want to show God ourselves. We don't want to show God is powerless. How can we show God is powerless? We show him powerless by not trusting in him ourselves. See, that's the issue. And so when we trust in him ourselves, we're depending on him to do what he's going to do. And we just stand with him as a sanctuary and know he is working. So we dare to treat God as God. Amen? And we cling. Okay, what do we cling to? We cling to the truth of God. So that's what we cling to. So the world's telling us everything else, but we cling to the truth of God, knowing that he'll be our sanctuary. Look what it says in the next verse. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. None of these people out there believe anything. He's not talking to them. He's talking to us. Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face, and I will hope in him. Now, think about this. This is how Isaiah felt, okay? He's like, have you ever felt like this? Okay. He's going to bind up the testimony, seal the truth, seal the teaching, but you're looking at it, oh my gosh, where is he? I mean, that's what he's saying. He said, the Lord's hiding his face. Is the Lord hiding his face? He didn't know where he is. He didn't know what he's doing. So it looks like he's hiding his face. Is God doing something now? Yeah, he's doing something now. But we can't see it, you know. And therefore we think, well, he's not doing nothing because we can't. He's not. He's doing something, but it seems like he's hiding his face. And I'm just going to hope in him. I'm just going to hope in him. He's my son. I'm just going to hope in him. That's all I'm going to do is hope in him. Nothing's changing around me. In fact, it looks like it's getting worse. I'm just going to hope in him. It feels like he's hiding his face. God, speak to me. I'm not hearing a thing. Been there? See, I hope in him. I'm just going to hope in him. And so that's what it says. Do not call conspiracy all that the people call conspiracy, and do not fear what they fear. God says, bind up the testimony, seal the teaching. He means preserve this neglected word. Teach it and stand on it. That's what he's telling us. What do? Cling to the word. Oh. you know, you have a witness and you have a testimony. Read it. I don't have to repeat what I've already written to you. And so that's what he's telling us here. Treasuring God's word and finding hope in God are to Christians inseparable. Maybe you should write it down. Treasuring God's word and finding hope in God to Christians are inseparable. Now, I want to say this. I'm not speaking to any of you because you are all just super godly. But it's amazing how many Christians don't read the Word of God. It's amazing how many Christians haven't read the Bible through. All right? Now, they're still going to heaven. You're going to heaven. But what it is, what you're missing, is the truth of God and being able to live by the truth of God you know, and being able to understand things around you, being able to have strength and power to walk through the things you're walking through. And it's from the testimony of God, and God speaks to us through the Word. And you don't have hope. Now, based on this Word, if you don't have hope, based on what we said here, it means we're not treasuring the Word. Because if you treasured the Word, you'd have hope. I treasure the Word. I got a Bible this thick, and it's on our coffee table. And nobody's allowed to put a cup on it or anything. I keep it dusted off. I treasure the Word. It's not like talking about. No, we're treating the Word like a lamp. You know? It's like a lamp. You know? Linda's brother wrote this little book, nice book, and we bought one of them, and it's how to train up offensive linemen for college. About that thick. It's not, and it's there on our coffee table. You know, we treasure that book. That's nice because he gave it to us. I never read it, you know, but it's nice having it on the coffee table like that. I'm not really treasuring it. Ain't no one why, because I'm not going to be an offensive line coach for one. You know, I have a low interest in that book, but I keep it nicely. Therefore, if I keep it for 3 or 4 years, some college will call me up. I can step up and I can be their offensive line coach because I have his book on my coffee table. Well, that's stupid. Isn't it? But we do the same thing with the Bible. Are you going to do what the Bible says? You bet. I got one on my coffee table. Okay, I'm going to put you in this terrible situation. I can handle it. No. I can handle it about as much as I can be an offensive line coach. See, and then we lose hope. You see what? And it's saying, no, and the Word is here. Bind up the teaching, you know. Bind up the testimony. Seal the teaching. Because treasuring God's Word, that means reading and understanding, is inseparable from finding hope. Same thing, see? So he's telling us what to do. Well, I just want to kind of hang out with Christians and have hope. Gosh, a lot of the Christians I'm hanging out with aren't giving me a lot of hope. Well, I don't know. Now, y'all are good, but... You see what I'm saying? It's like, no, it's got to be, you know, there's an element of our part. It's how we treat God determines.